Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text Number 1. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Siddha Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis, known as the country of the Anarthas, Dwarka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. Purport. The beloved Lord was away from his own prosperous metropolis of Dwarka for a considerably long period because of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and thus all the inhabitants were overcome with melancholia due to the separation. When the Lord descends on the earth, his eternal associates also come with him, just as the entourage of a king accompanies him. Such associates of the Lord are eternally liberated souls, and they cannot bear the separation of the Lord even for a moment because of intense affection for the Lord. Thus the inhabitants of the city of Dwarka were in the mood of dejection and expected the arrival of the Lord at any moment. So the heralding sound of the auspicious conch shell was very encouraging, and apparently the sound pacified their dejection. They were still more aspirant to see the Lord amongst themselves, and all of them became alert to receive him in the befitting manner. These are the signs of spontaneous love of Godhead. Text number 2. Sa uchakashe dava lo daro daro yurukramasya dara sona shonima Dadi mayamana kara kanja sambhute itabja kande kalahansa utsvanaha. The white and fat boweled conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. Purport. The redness of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is the symbol of spiritual significance. The Lord is all spirit and matter is ignorance of this spiritual existence. Factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment, and this spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. The Lord is present in every particle of all existence, and he can manifest his presence in anyone. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord, and the Paramahansa, or the spiritually intelligent, supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthavute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane Yata Maya Kachanam Nadaram Agyanam Arhokshajam Avyayam, Nalaksha Se Mudadrisha, Natyo Natyadaro Yata. So this is from Queen Kunti's prayers. That being beyond the range of material sense perception, limited sense perception, you are an eternally irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Natya Natyadaro Yata. So this is Krishna's position in the material world. Krishna has stated that he's everywhere. In many places he's explained, Maya Tatamidam Saravam, Jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarabhutani na chaham te shavasitaha. That in his impersonal feature, Krishna pervades the entire creation. That everything is resting on him, but still, Krishna is not personally involved with everything that's going on. Sarabhutani kondeya murtayak sambha. Nachamatstani karma, nachamatstani bhutani, paishame yogam aishwaram, bhuta brinnacha bhuta shto, mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. Again, although everything is resting on me, still I am not part of the creation. In other words, by Krishna's arrangement, everywhere are his energies. There is nothing but Krishna, in the sense that nothing is different from Krishna, because it is all Krishna's energy. Just like heat and light coming from a fire are nothing but fire, the energies of fire, they're nothing but fire in a different form. So similarly, there is nothing but Krishna, and Krishna is in every atom. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. Not only is everything Krishna's energy, but also Krishna is personally present in every atom as the Paramatma. Ekopyaso rachayitum jagarandakotim etschakshte asti chadayanta yantak andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purushandhamahang vajami. So this is Krishna's yoga aishvarya, his achintya shakti, that he's not only sending forth so many different energies, as that famous verse goes, that yata, just like fire, yata, joshner visarisi yata, brahmasya parama, brahmasya brahmana shaktis tateidam akilam jagat. Just like fire pervades everywhere by its heat and light, so similarly the Supreme Lord, although situated in one place, is pervading everything by his energies. Eka desha stitas yagya. Eka desha means in one place, stitas yagya, the fire is situated in one place. Joshnad vistrasi yata, but still by his energies, heat and light pervades everywhere. So, brahmasya brahmana shakti, so in the same way, Krishna's energies are covering all the material and spiritual universes. Tateidam akilam jagat. But the amazing thing is that although there is nothing but Krishna, and although everything is Krishna's energy, and although there's nothing, Krishna is completely different from everything, but still he's present everywhere, still in this material world no one knows anything about Krishna. Naham prakasha sarusha yogamaya samavrita mudoyam navijananti lokam yam ajam avyaya. That I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by my eternal creative potency yogamaya, so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. So though everything is Krishna in one sense, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneously one but different from Krishna, still Krishna is completely different. And even when Krishna is personally coming here on this planet, still they are thinking Krishna is just an ordinary person. Avijananti mamuda manushim danum ashitya. Because Krishna has two hands and we have two hands, he must be just like us. Even he can do extraordinary activities, still he's counted among the ordinary, by the ordinary persons. Even he lives Govardhan Hill, still he's taken as something ordinary. Even he expands himself and lives with 16,108 queens, still by the influence of Yogamaya or Mahamaya, people take him, this is ordinary. Even they believe that. Just like in India, one gentleman was saying that we do not worship Krishna as Krishna and Dwarka because he's so lusty that he married 16,108 queens. The fact that he can expand himself 16,108 times and live with 16,108 queens, that they don't take into account. that we only worship Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Or some may say, we don't like Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because he's inspiring Arjuna to kill people. We like Krishna and his role as the king of Dwarka because his motto is, make love and not war. They may say like that, but this is all foolishness. His inconceivable energies and his ability to do inconceivable activities, this is, they don't take into account. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by explaining about himself, not by explaining about the rasa dance. First of all, he says, Rasoham apsnu kanteya pravasi shasi suryayo pranava sarvavedeshu shabdake purusham nishu. That I'm the taste in water. This is the first thing he's saying. So one has to examine, what does this mean? We may take it as a very simple statement that Krishna is the taste in water. But what scientists can create water? They say, well, we can mix hydrogen and oxygen together. But what scientists can create hydrogen? What scientists can create oxygen? And even they can mix it together and they get water. But how have they actually created water? All they've done is taken what's already available and combined it. But they may create, you know, a bowl full of water, but can they create an ocean full of water? So with great endeavor, they have to take the energies that are available, because they don't find that oxygen is mixing together with hydrogen and forming water. No, they have to do it in a laboratory experiment. And then they prove that water is nothing but a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. So the question, who is the scientist who has mixed together enough hydrogen and oxygen together to create an ocean of water? Not only one ocean of water, but unlimited oceans of water on different planets. So Krishna says, Rasoham apsnu kanteya. Even we give Krishna credit that he's created water. But not only has created water, but he's created water in such a way as it quenches our thirst. It has a purpose. Just like the scientists, they can create something, maybe an atomic bomb. So their purpose is that they can kill everyone. A very noble person. Purpose. Everyone's going to die anyhow. But they've created a method by which everyone can die quicker due to their mercy. Or we can examine all their creations. They've created scientifically how to slaughter animals. Or we can say, well, they've done so many things, like they've created airplanes. So now by an airplane, you can fly rapidly from one contaminated, polluted city to another. And in your flight over there, you can add to the pollution. What progress have they actually made by being able to go from one place to another more rapidly? Are they doing anything other than simply eating and sleeping in one place or eating and sleeping in another place? Well, they can say now we've had scientific advancement. Now we can save people who are children. They're about to die of some disease, and now we've been able to save them. But they don't mention that their main advancement is how to perform abortions more quickly and scientifically. So in one sense, they claim they saved 20,000 children in Africa, and they're killing something like 10, 20 million children a year in the womb. So, the so-called scientific advancement is just a bluff. Actually, they're not making any advancement. Any real advancement, nor do they know what the standard of advancement is. The real standard of advancement is how to get out of material existence. But even from the practical point of view of material necessities, actual material necessity, Krishna says, is anad bhavati bhutani, food. Without food, no one can be satisfied. We may have a big festival, everyone may come, but if there's no food served, no one will appreciate the festival very much. that without food, no one can be very much satisfied. And what is their advancement in food? They've been able to create hybrid seeds that don't reproduce themselves. And if there's any problem, if there's some disease amongst the hybrids and they all get wiped out, then we'll all starve to death. It is not that 50 years ago or 200 years ago people were not eating. They were actually eating better than we are now. But now people don't have to get their hands dirty, more or less, and grow things that are these horrible looking vegetables that that actually taste like something, and grains that aren't filled with the flavor. The newest flavors of pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and whatever other chemicals they throw on it. Without that taste, then it would taste unnatural to the modern person. You think, what is this? Where's my favorite herbicide? It's not on there. I'm experiencing some strange reaction. I'm getting upset stomach. There's no pesticide on this. Where's my nutrition coming from? So factually, they've created a dangerous situation in the name of so-called advancement, and the natural method that Krishna has that he's created, namely rain producing grains, and therefore grains being able to provide the necessities of life for mankind. But the point is that grains come from rain, and rain, proper rain, comes from the performance of sacrifice. So, because they've stopped sacrifice, therefore they've created their own problems, and the so-called scientists are so-called solving those problems. And because people are ignorant of how the material world works, therefore they have faith in the so-called scientists, in spite of the fact that things are progressively becoming worse. They don't recognize that the more godless they're becoming, the more everything is becoming out of balance. The weather is becoming out of balance. The people's consciousness is becoming out of balance. Everything is becoming disturbed. But because people are covered by Krishna's illusory energy, they believe that they're making progress. And modern progress means that you wipe out the unwanted thing, whatever it is. Just like in their medicine, if you want to make progress in allopathic medicine, then you have to kill what's unnecessary, that's unwanted, even if it's you. So they don't mind cutting out an appendix here, or a liver there, or a lung here, or whatever. You just cut it out because it's not cooperating. Or you take some drug, an antibiotic, and kill whatever is causing you some problem, even if it's you. So they don't mind killing unwanted children because, after all, they're a botheration. This is perfectly legal, and this is humane. Otherwise they'd grow up and people would not take care of them, so better to kill them. And as time goes on, then old people, they're not very productive, they're causing some disturbance to the family. So why not just kill them? Make everyone happy. In some civilizations, Prabhupada said they have a grandfather feast, that the grandfather, when he gets old, can't do so much work, then the grandsons take him up to the roof and they roll him off the roof until he finally dies. And then they have a big feast in his honor and they eat him. It's called the grandfather feast. Especially they think, let us eat his brains because he's very old and wise. Therefore there must be so much wisdom in his brain. So if we eat his brain, then certainly we'll gain some knowledge. It's a different way of gaining transcendental knowledge. So this is modern civilization, and if we point out that actually this is against the laws of material nature, they don't believe that there are laws of material nature. What to speak of God? They believe that everything is going on by accident. And therefore, if you point out that there is an actual person behind this material world, that wherever you find an intelligent organization, there must be a person behind it. Even the most basic principles they deny. How is it that not only there's unlimited oceans of water, but this water has a practical purpose of quenching our thirst and providing the necessary ingredient for the production of food grains by which everyone is able to survive. And not only Krishna has created food grains, but he says, Aham Vaishnaro Budva Prani Nam Deham Ashitya Prana Pana Samayuktva Pajamyanam Chaturvidam. I become the fire digestion, Vaishvanara, or Jata Agi, Agni, and I digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. I join with air of life and digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. So the material body is created in such a wonderful way that not only Krishna has created water, and therefore from water comes grains, from an arrangement of the planetary systems, but from these grains, not only we have grains, but we have the ability to eat the grain, fire of digestion, and to digest it and assimilate, and then to eliminate the unnecessary part of the food. So what scientist can create that? What scientist can create a machine by which one end you put some grass and in the other end you get milk? So Krishna has created that machine called the cow. You put in one end grass and the other end comes out milk. But no credit is given to the cow. No credit is given to Krishna. They create some kind of chemical and they sell it on the market and they declare themselves better than God. That God has created all these natural things and if you drink them you'll get sick. So now we've created better things, margarine, made out of oil. Now in America, they have food where they're growing food out of cotton, or a margarine. Prabhupada once pointed out when I was there, when I was talking to him one time, Prabhupada said, sometimes margarine, one of the ingredients is some kind of phosphate. So they experimented in World War II and they found out that you can make margarine out of stool. So sometimes they may convert stool into margarine. That way you don't have to eat this horrible butter. So in this way people are so fooled that they can eat any crazy thing, prepare it in any crazy way, and they think, oh, this is very nice because it's been manufactured scientifically rather than naturally. Although it has practically no taste. I remember the last time I ate a meal on an airplane was a long time ago. But more or less, it tastes like whether you eat a sponge or you eat the meal on the airplane, there's not so much of a difference. The only difference is that probably the sponge is more nutritious. One time they did an experiment, as I pointed out before, they fed a box of Wheaties, these Wheaties, dry Wheaties, to rats. But they made the mistake of keeping the Wheaties in the box, so the rats ate the box instead of the Wheaties. Because they were in full. So, in this way, they don't realize Krishna has given us this body. It's such a wonderful body. He's given us the means by which we can get food grains. He's provided so many wonderful things. Simply due to lack of knowledge, people don't understand how God is present as the fire digestion, how he's present as all these different planets floating in their orbits, how all these things are going on. They're all Krishna's energies and they're all expansions of Krishna's energy. So this can only be understood in this age if one becomes a devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, especially in this age, people's there become so dull, it's very difficult for them to understand even these basic things. Although it should be obvious, Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahma Ivir, Brahmagno Brahma Hutam, Brahmaiva Dena Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina, that the work of a person is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, merges entirely into transcendence. So a person is sure to reach the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual knowledge, in which the consummation is absolute and the things which are offered are the same spiritual nature. So the question is, how is it that the living entity, because he's engaged in sense gratification and therefore his real intelligence has been stolen by illusion, he's been covered over by the illusory energy, how can he get out of the entanglement? Because he can't stop working. So the solution is, just like when a person has suffering from a disease caused by an overindulgence in milk products, he's offered milk products in a different form with some kind of medicine in it, and that cures him of the disease. So in the same way, the conditioned soul is entangled because of his activities of sense gratification, but if he performs the same activities that he's presently doing to please Krishna, then he can become free from this misconceptions and entanglement. So the more the activities in the material world are performed to satisfy Vishnu, then the more the whole atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. And when the consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, then one can see the sacrifice, the offerings of the sacrifice, the performer of the sacrifice, the results of the sacrifice. One can understand how everything is related to Krishna. It all becomes spiritualized by complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. Or Vasudeva Sarvamiti Saramahatma Sudurvalavaha, that a real Mahatma is one who understands how things are related to Krishna by properly utilizing everything in Krishna's service. But those who don't utilize their activities, don't utilize their energies in Krishna's service, then they'll simply think that Krishna is mythological. They won't be able to understand even how their fire digestion is working and is a gift from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They'll take everything for granted. Everything will become insignificant to them. The fact that there's a sun in the sky giving us unlimited heat and light, they'll just take that for granted. Although if one day the sun didn't rise up, or if the sun sent a little telegram, Vivaswan sent a telegram, or we send you 3 bills for sunlight and for heat, you haven't paid them, we're sorry, tomorrow I'm taking a vacation for a week because of unpaid bills I have to go out and collect. Therefore, don't expect any sunlight or heat tomorrow. Then people get quite upset. Just like if you didn't pay your heat or light bill for some time, then they naturally shut off the supply. You can't say, well, you owe it to me because I'm a nice person. I am what I am, therefore you must give it to me. No, in order to get heat and light, we're dependent. And therefore we have to reciprocate with those we're dependent on by giving them some payment. So although God is so kind, he's giving us the sun with infinite heat and light, still we're so ungrateful that we don't even give him any thanks. Instead we say, oh, the guy who gave it to us, he died. We're sorry to tell everyone, he's dead. Or even if he was alive, the guy's a rat. We don't like him. We don't appreciate him because he's puffed up, because he keeps on saying he's God everywhere. He won't let anyone else be God for a week. He wants to keep it all for himself. So many different ways they criticize. Krishna comes, they criticize him. Oh, he killed so many people. He inspired Arjuna to fight. Or he was so lusty. Or he was actually just the manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. But actually, to simply thank Krishna, who walks up to Krishna and says, thank you, Krishna. You're so kind. You're giving me the heat, the light from the sun, you give me the fire digestion. No, even if people believe in God, they go to God and say, God, I've done so much for you. Now what are you going to do for me? completely oblivious to everything Krishna's doing. No, Krishna, yesterday I gave him $1.25 and it still hasn't manifested as $1,000,000. What's wrong with you? Why are you so slow? Don't you appreciate what people do for you? Give me a house, give me some money, give me a color TV. Jai Jagadisha Hari. Something. So one should try to understand things completely, and then one will be able to appreciate Krishna, and by that appreciation one can make some spiritual advancement and be able to see how Krishna is actually approaching us in so many different ways, not only now but since time immemorial. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions, comments, complaints? Okay, we'll stop there. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.